This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King. He's also a member of the House Judiciary Committee, and he's also the sponsor early on in this new Congress of a birthright citizenship bill that would end the policy of making anyone born in this country an automatic U.S. citizen if their parents are not here legally. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Greg. I appreciate it.
It's called H.R. 140, and it would amend the Immigration and Nationality Act. Explain for our listeners exactly what it would do.
Well, it would put an end to the practice of granting automatic citizenship to every baby that's born in the United States, and make that clarification. So just say, for example, if an illegal came into the United States, has a baby here in the United States, they don't get a birth certificate for that baby that says born here and a U.S. citizen. And so that changes the dynamics of this. We have somewhere between the low estimates, 340,000, and the high estimate is up around 750,000 anchor babies born in the United States every year. It's developed a tourism, an anchor baby tourism industry where, for example, a mother-to-be from China can, for $30,000 turnkey, get a round-trip plane ticket, a hospital, a doctor, fly over here, sneak into the United States illegally, have her baby, get the birth certificate that denotes citizenship, fly back to China, and start the reunification process when the child comes of age. But far more often, it's someone who comes across our southern border, comes into the United States, has the baby, their families come in illegally anyway, and they raise this child up until the child can start the family reunification plan, and then the whole extended family comes into United States citizenship. The burden in our society and our economy is just intolerable, and the people that framed the 14th Amendment did not envision this. They envisioned that they wanted to grant citizenship, as they should have, to the children that were born to the newly freed slaves. That's when the 14th Amendment was ratified, just shortly after the Civil War, Greg.
Congressman, I'm glad you mentioned the 14th Amendment, because I think a lot of people believe that to change this policy, you'd have to amend the Constitution or amend the amendment to the Constitution. You don't believe that's necessary?
No, I do not. In fact, that's why I got into this thing in a more intense way, because I heard a couple of senators talking about the need to amend the Constitution to address birthright citizenship. I said, wait a minute, that's not how I read it. And that's not how I understand the history and the scholarship around the 14th Amendment. But the 14th Amendment says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are American citizens. And the subject to the jurisdiction thereof is the clause that we need to understand that gives Congress the authority and the latitude to regulate citizenship. And that subject to the jurisdiction as I said, was to ensure that the babies born to newly freed slaves would be citizens, but also it was an exemption for the diplomatic corps, the ambassadors and their children that would be born here, but also to include the babies that were born on certain Indian reservations would not be American citizens during that time. Some of them would have lost their tribal rights, their tribal membership, if they were automatically American citizens. So they were exempted with that language, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And so that clearly says that Congress can regulate who's a citizen and who is not. And if it were not for that clause in the Constitution, I would agree with the senators to say amend the Constitution. But I think it's very clear that when you read the history behind it, that we can regulate the citizenship of the babies that are born to illegals and deny that practice of automatic citizenship, help save the value and the precious nature of citizenship, which we should have, and it also helps save our economy. It's costing us hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Congressman, you mentioned that a little while ago that anywhere from 350,000 to 750,000 anchor babies are born here every year. So if, in fact, Congress were to approve this and it were to become law, how big of a difference would it make in the overall problem of illegal immigration?
Well, it sends the right message, and you know, that's one of the 340,000 to 750,000 babies a year. That's two people in the United States illegally, the baby and the mother at a minimum, and hopefully the father goes along with the package. So when you think of that, it's an illegal immigration problem of maybe 1.5 million or more every year. it would, a lot of them would not come into the United States if it weren't for that promise of automatic citizenship. So it would diminish the numbers of people in the United States illegally, and it would help reestablish the rule of law and the respect for our boundaries and the sovereign nation that we are.
The Republicans, of course, now control the House, so I'm sure you're more optimistic than you were a few months ago about the traction this bill might get. What's your sense on when and if this bill will get to the floor?
It's hard to predict it. I don't think it's going to be early in the first, say, quarter of this year. And we need to go out and continue to build the support for it. Today they told me that we're up over 40 co-sponsors. That's not bad for just beginning this new Congress. This legislation that was shaped by Nathan Deal when he was in Congress, and he's now the governor of Georgia. But while Nathan Deal carried the legislation, there were 95 signatures on it. I think we will exceed that in this Congress. And anytime you get over 100 signatures, it almost guarantees a hearing. And after the hearing, you're in a position for a markup. So I think something will happen in this Congress, but probably not the first quarter or more of this year.
In terms of the overall immigration debate, given the divided nature of Congress, do you expect that to be among the major debates of this Congress?
Well, it's hard to say. I think we had the major debate yesterday that culminated with the repeal of Obamacare, and that has been a major focus of mine for a long time, a year and a half or so. And so I think that's a major debate. The debt ceiling is a major debate. Whether we're able to send the tax extensions, making them permanent, over to through the Senate to the President's desk. But this is a significant component to the immigration debate, and we'll have to see how the priorities of the immigration committee emerge and how they will be stacked up in that fashion. It's possible that there could be a couple of other priorities in immigration. One of them might be making E-Verify permanent and mandatory. So let's see how the debate shakes up, but we have to make our argument to set our priorities. I want to shut off the bleeding at the border. I want to shut off the jobs magnet, and I want to address the sanctuary cities that are defying federal law. If we do those things, we'll come a long ways towards getting our immigration under control in this country. But it has always been the process of the executive branch has to enforce the law, and the legislature can control budgets and direct then pass legislation. But in the end, we're down to embarrassing the administration into enforcing the law, and that's a kind of a difficult position to get cooperation from an administration whose heart is not in it. So I don't think the president will support this ban on anchor babies, but I'd sure like to sit it on his desk and see what he does with it.
Last 30 to 60 seconds here, Congressman. As is usually the reaction to any type of major push for border security or other restrictiveness when it comes to immigration along the southern border, I'm sure if you haven't been, you will be accused of being lack of compassion, or in some cases the allegations go all the way down to discrimination against certain types of people. How do you respond to those arguments that will or are already coming?
Well, they have already been coming, and they come constantly, and they come every day. But, you know, calling names is a last refuge of someone who's lost the debate. And sometimes if they lead with name-calling, then you know they already know they've lost the debate. We need to talk about the rule of law, the future destiny of America, respect for the law, respect for citizenship. And if they just hurl the accusations about built-in biases, oh, I have one, all right. I love the Constitution, I love this country, and I love the people in it. And I think we're all God's children, created in His image, and we should treat everybody accordingly, but we cannot suspend the sovereignty of the United States because some people want to call us names. We've got to do the right thing, Greg.
A major portion of this debate, as you mentioned, sir, we'll be sure to follow it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
As always, sir. Iowa Congressman Steve King, member of the House Judiciary Committee, again with the Birthright Citizenship Act, wanting to make sure that only those who are born of legal parents in this country are considered American citizens. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.